listening to a minisode of Not So Live from Asteroid G, putting our cards on the table. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul going to go all in with one of his favorite movies we're going to talk about here, Rounders.
Yes. I don't think we have enough material to do a full podcast, but we were both just discussing the fact that Rounders is a fantastic film and everyone should see it. Like, it came out in the mid to late 90s, has Matt Damon and Edward Norton in it, and it hit at just this right moment when poker was blowing up everywhere.
It was just before that, like, Chris Moneymaker, everybody can be a millionaire and win the World Series of Poker thing back in the day, you know? Oh, yeah. The poker boom. I lived it. I remember.
Oh, yeah. The poker boom. Yeah. Like, I had friends that would do monthly poker games because they'd seen Rounders or they'd watch Celebrity Poker Showdown on Bravo or something. Yeah. Like, let's do poker. Most of them sucked at it, so I was happy to take their money. But,
And this movie helped. This movie helped me learn how to play.
It doesn't teach you all the lingo. It's definitely much more in on the characters. Like, I learned more about playing poker from Celebrity Poker Showdown, for example, where you're like the flop and the river and everything. This is much more a character study, kind of gritty and grimy, but it works really well. And it was in that phase where you could tell Matt Damon was definitely trying to be a serious actor and hadn't decided to embrace Hollywood quite the way that his buddy Ben Affleck did.
Yeah, it's a very dark movie at its core. Yeah, you know, it's about loss and about betrayal and about consequence. And then, you know, emerging on the other side, battered, bruised and beaten, but victorious. Yeah, like, it is a great story arc from top to bottom.
Yeah, and it's just interesting to go back and watch it again because it holds up so well. Like, yes,
it really does.
It's about poker, but really it's about a dude. So even if you don't much like poker or like gambling, like the character that's dating Matt Damon's guy, Gretchen Mol's character, who I think is underused in that movie because she's actually pretty good. Yeah, and the movie just kind of dismisses her, which is a little sad. Like, even if you don't like gambling or poker, the movie still kind of gets you invested in it, because it's not just about redemption, it's about having a friend and realizing that that friend is scum.
And still, like, knowing what he is, knowing that, you know, he went away to jail and you know, he kind of took the fall for you a little bit, so, like, you feel like you owe him, but he came out, like, he still looks like the same guy, still talks like the same guy, but he ain't that guy anymore. Like, and he'll sell you out now.
That's exactly what Gretchen Mol's character says. She's like, I can't believe you know someone named Worm.
Worm.
Yeah. Which is, like, it's perfect. Edward Norton plays the perfect scummy dude. He's great at it. They should never have cast him for the Incredible Hulk, because he's just wrong in that role. He's better as, like, the nameless narrator in Fight Club, or scummy old Worm in Rounders. Like, that's what he's meant to be. Matt Damon is the clean-cut guy that can play a superhero, and weirdly, I don't think ever has.
I don't think he has either. Maybe there's been... I don't know. Let's look that up.
See, he hasn't embraced Hollywood the same way that, like, Ben Affleck did. Ben Affleck famously, like, I mean, jokingly in Jay and Silent Bob, but also that was pretty much his career. Yes, you did a movie for yourself, and then you did a movie for the paycheck. And then he unironically did a movie named Paycheck.
Yeah, and then you got to do the payback film because your friend says that you owe him.
No, you've seen that interview with Kevin Smith as well. So Matt Damon has managed to keep this, like, aura of being a serious actor. The biggest blockbuster he did was the Jason Bourne movies.
I think
And that still treats him like he's actually a serious actor. There's a real character study to that. And he brings that depth of performance and how he can build a character that he showed in movies like Rounders and The Rainmaker.
Good Will Hunting.
Yeah. You know, which he co-wrote with Affleck and won an Academy Award. Like, I love that. I was just watching clips from Evening with Kevin Smith recently, and it's Ben Affleck loving to improvise on all of Kevin Smith's movies, like, just add a little extra line. And he's like, dude, it's my movie. If you feel like you can write your own movie, go off and take all your lines and write your own movie. And he did. And he won an Academy Award.
Hilarious, isn't it?
It is. But there's something so good about this movie. Like, the grittiness of it, the desaturated tone that actually accents the fact that you're kind of in another world. the way it all plays out, the riches to rags to kind of riches again, like just resetting the character back to where he was. Spoilers for a near 30-year-old movie at this point, which makes me feel hideously old.
Seriously.
But it holds up. It
really does. And like, there's so many different points of this movie that just, like you said, you get the rags, you get them playing the game in the beginning when he picks up his buddy at like the country club, right?
Yeah.
All the way down to like, you know, he's saying to his face, go play in the fucking Dennis game over there. He's like, I'll definitely go do that. Yeah, but like, I don't know, man. Like it's you take it to the seedy New York underbelly, like knocking on the door of the secret way, going into the back door of the club. Like, and we haven't even gotten to the best character in the movie yet. While Matt Damon and Edward Norton are fantastic, Teddy KGB.
Malkovich,
yes. Like, this is what he was born to play, and he's in the movie maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah, there's like no development for him, but he just puts on this Russian accent, and he chews the scenery without barely saying anything, and it's perfect.
It's brilliant. Like, he just sits there eating his fucking Oreo cookies, and just like, you know, playing poker, running this like club. He's like this dirty Russian gangster you don't fuck with, like wearing a tracksuit, and he looks like this unassuming like uncle that you'd find at like a baseball game.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It is. It's so weird. It's amazing how well this movie holds up, because there's other ones from that era with Matt Damon that I don't go back and watch. Like, I know Good Will Hunting's a good movie. I don't watch it regularly. I liked The Rainmaker when it came out. I watched it a couple times. I don't go back and watch it again. But this movie, every couple years, I'm like, let's put on Rounders. Let's watch that movie. Yeah.
It's just a good story. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and you get so many little, like, I hesitate to call them cameos because they have some pretty major roles. But, like, you know, John Turturro, who Matt Damon's character ends up working for a little bit, and Femke Jackson is in there. You know, they even have some cameos of actual poker players in that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which is really cool.
The whole reason why he goes in big, which we learn eventually, but again, spoilers for a 30-year-old movie, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Fucking go watch this movie already. We see that Matt Damon's character decided to go all in on that one hand that kind of sent him on the wrong path early in the movie, because he met with a huge poker star played by a real poker star and managed to bluff his way through a hand, and he's like, I've got what it takes. He couldn't even read me.
And he did. He had what it takes. He got hit with like that one L that he could have taken, and it was like the one hand that could beat him, and he thought he was invincible. And he went from having the high of the world to losing everything he had in the blink of a drop, and you know, to drive in a truck, you know, and try to pick back up and go to law school, and like, you know, there's just so many angles to this movie that just work. Like, sometimes the movie could definitely feel oversaturated with this going on, but this movie had a lot of things that just all tied together very well.
No, it's interesting because there's a lot of the development for like the girlfriend and the law school and everything else that's meant to show you the life he's made after poker. So that if he decides to throw it all away to play poker again, you feel like it's actually a loss. But I think that's part of the story, is that it's actually meant to be a rebuilding. He built this protective shell around him of a life that wasn't really meant for him. Yeah. And then he rediscovers who he was meant to be. And the movie lets you think that being a poker player is gambling and it's bad. But it's a sport like any other. Like, the risk isn't against the house, the risk is against other players, and that's competitive sports. And in a way, this movie uses the same kind of tropes of a sports movie to do the big loss to a big win that comes after, just with like seedy New York underbelly instead of like on the seedy field for the Jets. I'm sure it's seedy, it's New York still.
I mean, that's a really good point, because, like, you know, you touched on that. It gives you that story arc of the sports team that like, you know, suffers the defeat in the championship game, but, you know, rebounds to find a way to come back the next season and win it all and bring it home. Like, it's a good way to do that with poker.
Hell, that was an arc that I just literally saw on Shoresy last season. Like, that's Bad News Bears, fucking Replacements. You can find that arc anywhere. It's a sports arc.
And the teacher, Martin Landau's character, right? He meets his teacher at the bar, and, you know, he's having that discussion with him. He's like, what do you drink? He's like, gin. Always gin. Like, he just looks like he'd be drinking gin. And just little things in the movie that are just so perfect.
So perfect.
And just so well done.
Lived
and,
in. You know, yeah.
It just, and
has a sense of reality.
the great word you use already was undersaturated. Like, the movie feels dark, but, like, it's not a dark movie in tone of, like, you know, the way it's shot. Like, now you look at a dark movie, like, I can't even tell when I'm looking at it. It's so dark. But this had a brightness to it, but was also so dark and dingy at the same time.
Well, yeah, it uses the sepia-toned, desaturated style as an artistic choice, and not because it's a Marvel movie filmed in front of a green screen and it's just desaturated for the sake of everything looking flat.
But oh my great god. Great movie, 30 years old, wonderful movie. Go watch it, please.
Go watch it, and then put all your money down on, I don't know, fucking double zero thoughts for that. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, losing our shirt to KGB. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And I'm just going to go and eat my Oreos over there and enjoy this. Mike the Ghoul's out of here, guys. Have a good one.
We will see you all next time.